Well, good morning, TNC family, on this second Sunday in August, where today here we start a four-part series rooted in the New Testament book of James, which was a letter written by James, the brother of Jesus, and leading figure in the Jerusalem church after Jesus' death and resurrection, a letter written with the intention that it would be read, copied, and distributed to all of the churches that were springing up throughout the then-known world, but were facing opposition and tension and questions surrounding, okay, how do I live in the way of Jesus when it's not always easy? I mean, first, it's a different way to live than I have lived up to this point in my life. I'm sharing my money more freely and welcoming folks more openly and loving people more broadly, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, slave and free, male and female, healthy and diseased. And it's hard. Plus, it's the opposite of what most of the culture is doing. And so, there are those outside our community who are feeling threatened by my new life and threatening me and even persecuting me. Plus, there are some within our own community with ulterior motives, joining for the wrong reasons and so on. And so this whole experiment in living in the way of Jesus is both wonderful and a huge struggle. And so James writes this letter filled with advice for Christians taking steps in the faith and needing to know how to navigate these problems. Which ones to avoid, which ones to persevere through, how to find the resources to cope with them. And his advice is rooted in his relationship with Jesus and his understanding of the way of Jesus, counsel which has stood the test of time for 2,000 years now across generations and cultures, meaning we too, TNC, will benefit from letting God's Spirit speak to us through this letter. Starting with the very first sentence of the letter after the dear followers of Jesus dispersed throughout the empire salutation. And it's a striking first sentence because it's not, dear followers of Jesus dispersed throughout the empire, hi, I hope all is well. And it's not, dear followers of Jesus dispersed throughout the empire, regards from Jerusalem, sending you love alongside some bits of wisdom and encouragement. Rather, it's, dear followers of Jesus dispersed throughout the empire, when you find yourselves tumbling into various trials and tribulations, learn to look at it with complete joy. Bam! He just jumps right in with the challenge. When you find yourselves tumbling into various trials and tribulations, learn to look at it with complete joy. And notice he does not begin the letter saying, if your life is filled with trials and tribulations, pressure, struggle, loss, disappointment, waiting, pain. He doesn't say if, he writes when you face suffering of all kinds. Because, TNC, if you want to avoid suffering, you've landed inside the wrong species and on the wrong planet because in this world, you will have trouble, to quote Jesus, John chapter 16. And that means our hope cannot be to escape from struggle, but rather to learn to experience joy in and through it. Verse 2, one last time, and then we'll keep going. When you find yourselves tumbling into various trials and tribulations, learn to look at it with complete joy. Because the testing of your faith will bring forth patience. Verse 4, and you must let patience have its complete effect, so that you may be mature and whole, not falling short in anything. At which point we see that in these opening verses, James gives us the strategy for finding joy in our struggles. It's a three-prong strategy, and I'm going to tell you all three prongs up front, and then we'll talk for a few minutes about each one. Number one, when you face struggles and trials of every kind, TNC, see the big picture. Number two, stay the course. And number three, separate the temporary from the eternal. See the big picture, stay the course, separate the temporary from the eternal. Let's talk about each one. First, see the big picture. And here's the big picture. There is a lot of good that comes from suffering and struggle. Although, before going further, let me explain how I'm using that word, because I'm not talking about the kind of struggle and pain associated with being a victim of a crime or physical torture or war or starvation. although even then there is the possibility of growth and healing. I'm talking today about what James is talking about, the word struggle or suffering in its broadest sense, to describe the setbacks, roadblocks, threats, loss, disappointment, darkness, and waiting that almost every human will experience. And again, here's the big picture. There's a lot of good that comes from it, including struggle is actually not a barrier to progress. It's the only way you will ever have progress. Problems, delays, periods of darkness, they're part of the path towards joy and purpose and success. You're not going to get to where you want to be without it. Why should you consider it all joy when you face struggles of various kinds? Because it's a signpost that, hey, I must be on the road to something worthwhile. At which point, if you disagree, then I just recommend again the renowned author, teacher, and Episcopal priest who has made huge contributions to the field of theology and the spiritual life, Barbara Brown Taylor, and her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, in which she writes, quote, I have learned things in the dark that I could never have learned in the light, things that have saved my life over and over again, so that there is really only one logical conclusion. I need darkness as much as I need light. And she goes on to show that without darkness, you're never going to develop the ability to persevere. And without perseverance, you'll never develop character. And without character, you will live a shallow and dangerous and lonely life. Or to quote Paul in Romans chapter 3, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope will not disappoint. A passage of scripture that always reminds me of when I used to sort of follow Mike Tyson years ago, the heavyweight boxing champion, one of the greatest to ever enter the ring, who, after achieving fame and fortune and becoming the richest boxer in the world, kept working out at Johnny Taco's ringside gym. Drab, dank, seedy, smelled like sweat and body odor, even though the top-ranked gym was across the street, all slick and modern. Tyson didn't want to work out there. He wanted Johnny Taco's because it felt like a street fight. Being on a bad street where he grew up and had to be on the edge and to fight for every scrap, that environment, that struggle was the key to his success. Do you see the big picture? There's a link between the pain you are willing to endure today and the size of the joy you are headed for tomorrow. This is what James is getting at. Which is why best-selling author and life coach Mark Manson says that the secret to finding your purpose in life is to answer this question in total honesty. What's your favorite flavor of struggle sandwich? Now, he uses a different S word, but I'll use the word struggle. Everything involves struggle some of the time, he says. You just got to decide what sort of struggle you're willing to deal with. Because if you love and want something enough, whatever it is, then you don't really mind eating the sandwich that comes with it. For example, if you truly love having babies, a sign that you're on the right path is morning sickness. If you truly want to be a teacher, a sign that you are on the right path is complaining students, a poor salary, and sometimes a commotion-filled classroom. If you truly love performing, a sign you're on the right path is the discomfort and inconvenience of living on the road. If you really want to experience the joy of generosity, a sign you're on the right path is if you're feeling financially stretched a little bit because of it. And that's the big picture, James says. Why should you consider it all joy when you face struggles of various kinds? Because it's a signpost. Hey, I'm on the road pursuing a bigger vision, a deeper purpose, a greater hope. There's a lot of good that comes from suffering and struggle. And let me make a small detour now and share with you some wisdom from the highly regarded philosopher Richard Swinburne. He's 90 years old and he's still doing interviews, and he's authored 20 highly influential works regarding the existence of God, who he does not believe that God causes suffering, but he does believe that God created a world in which he knew suffering would exist because, and now I quote, while I agree that a world without suffering would be a good thing, it's also a good thing that we have suffering because that enables us to have serious choices about how to live and to make choices how other people can live. We're not going to be responsible for other people unless what we do matters and makes a difference. But it can only make a difference if, were we not to act, they would suffer. Why would God have wanted to produce a universe in which we can't make any real difference to anybody else. If there's to be a point in it, and God who loved us would want to give us something really worthwhile to do, our choices must make a difference to whether or not others have a good life. Again, that's the big picture. Suffering is part of the path toward the good life. See the big picture. Now, number two, James's second strategy for finding joy in our struggles, stay the course. Verse 4, let patience do its work. Let patience have its complete effect. Because patience works, which is not always how we think about patience. Sometimes we think to be patient means to stand around and do nothing, but actually patience is steady movement towards. Patience is staying the course. Regardless of how slow the progress feels, regardless of how useless it feels or how completely pointless it sometimes feels, there's something about movement that's healthy. Paul Bloom writes about this in his book called The Sweet Spot, The Pleasures of Suffering and the Search for Meaning, in which he tells the story of how a few years ago, passengers at the Houston airport would complain about how long they had to sit around and wait for their luggage at baggage claim. To which, rather than getting the luggage out quicker, the executives who ran the airport decided to move the baggage claim area farther away from the gates. So that now, instead of being stuck with no way to predict or control when they got their bags, passengers would spend their time walking, pursuing a goal, getting to baggage claim, and the story goes, the passengers stopped complaining because they weren't bored. Bloom adds, wouldn't you rather have a road trip that involved an extra hour on the open highway moving than one in which you spend an hour stuck in traffic? Same amount of time, but one is spent moving. Because there's something about movement, about staying the course. In fact, breakthrough almost always happens on just another mundane day of staying the course. It's why it was 72 years, 1 month, and on day 7, after the women's rights launch at Seneca Falls in 1848, that the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. In all, 909 political campaigns between 1848 and 1920 focused on getting women's suffrage on the ballot and to get amendments before voters and Congress. And a one win and 908 loss record won't get you into a sports hall of fame. And it took far too long, but patience did its work on just one more ordinary day of staying the course. As it did for J.K. Rowling, famously, whose first Harry Potter book was rejected by 12 editors before finally editor 13 handed the manuscript to her granddaughter, who couldn't put it down until she finished reading the entire thing. And the editor said, I think we should give this one a shot. As it did for Walt Disney, who was fired from the Kansas City Star in 1919 because his editor said he, quote, lacked imagination and had no creative ideas. And lists like this are endless, including it works in reverse, too. Ernest Hemingway has that line in The Sun Also Rises. In his book, there's a character who's asked how he went bankrupt. And he replies, two ways. Gradually, then suddenly. Because suddenly, TNC, almost always happens as a consequence of gradually. This is why James says, verse 4, you must let patience have its complete effect. Simply means stay the course, remain faithful and obedient, even when the results aren't visible. Now, number three, third part of the strategy for finding joy in our struggles. Number three, separate the temporary from the eternal. And what I mean here is understand that the real goal, the real destination, isn't something temporary, but rather something eternal. This is what Jesus means in Matthew chapter 16 when he says, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Don't just think that the goal is to get to the end of your struggle and gain some relief or success or some tangible reward, but rather think of the goal where you're headed is the maturing of your soul, of your person. This is what James means when he says perseverance leads to being mature and complete, lacking nothing. Because the most important thing in your life is not what you gain, it's who you become. After all, that's what you'll take with you into eternity. TNC, make sure that as you navigate your struggle, you're growing in humility and love and self-control and kindness and so on. So, how can we get to that place of verse 2, considering it all joy when you face struggles of every kind? Answer, if you'll learn to see the big picture, stay the course, and separate the temporary from the eternal. Three strategies from the pen of James as he opens his letter. Will you pray with me? God, I pray for every person listening now, and I lay before you their struggles and the places they're suffering. And I pray, too, that they would not be walking through these struggles alone. Help us as a TNC community to love well and encourage well and to walk alongside each other well through life's sufferings. And I pray, too, over every person listening, that prayer of the prophet Isaiah chapter 40. The Lord gives power to the faithful and increases the strength of the weak. Even the young will grow tired and weary, and the old will stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God, may the peace of that promise fill us today. Now, TNC, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.